At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. This is the final show of 2023, so happy holidays, depending on what you celebrate, of course. There's lots of things to celebrate this time of the year, so whatever you do, enjoy the time off. Stefan, as always, joins me for this show, Stefan Bienkowski. We are getting some time off too. Unbelievable.
We are indeed, yes. We're recording this on Thursday, finish up on Friday. And then I am off to Glasgow for one night and then away up to the Isle of Skye, which is an island off the western coast of Scotland for about a week. And then back down to Glasgow for Hogmanay, as we call it in my part of the world, to sing Auld Lang Syne at when the bell strikes 12. And the bell has stroked 12 for already a couple of coaches in the Bundesliga this week, man. It's been a busy, well, one in particular, actually. Maybe not one, not the other one. But going through this list today, I kind of realized actually some clubs have actually started making some big changes.
They indeed have. And I mean, so this is, of course, a little bit of a different rundown that we do usually. The show is available for everyone. It's a bonus show. Basically going through every club and what they have done this season. And yes, you're right. There has been some changes, including today. Poor Steffen Baumgart gone. I think we're going to touch on that, or you're going to touch on it, because Köln is one of the clubs that you are looking at. But a little surprising, I would say. Almost the opposite of the surprise that most people had with Edin Terzic. They wouldn't have been surprised, of course, to find out that he's not going to get sacked if they had listened to yesterday's podcast, Steffen.
Yes, because that's what you were told and that's what you were reporting.
Yep. And today the rest of Germany reported it too. So listen to Gegenpressing and you're 24 hours ahead. Anyways, we have lots to talk about today. I'm going to explain how we're going to do it right after this break. This episode of the Gegenpressing podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. The only people that don't get time off this time of the year are pro athletes and us at BetOnline. With NFL, bowl season, and NBA in full swing over the holidays, BetOnline isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up through the second's odds, news, and info. BetOnline has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head here today to get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So yeah, Stefan, the way we are doing this on our last podcast of the year, and as you already pointed out, this is ever going to be available for everyone. We're going to run through every club. And I think the way we're going to do it, we're going to start at the bottom, right? I think that's the best way to do it. Go bottom to top. And that's so you Bayern fans, because I know how you are, have to listen to the very end. Yes, that's the rules we set because we own this podcast. Sorry. And I guess that means I'll start, right? So yes, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about every club and bottom of the table, Darmstadt. Yeah, I mean, I think for them, this was always a bonus season, Stefan. I had the sense that when they got promoted, and this is the second time they've been promoted, the last time they were in the Bundesliga, of course, they managed survival, right? And then got relegated their second season. I don't think that's going to happen this year. So one of the pluses that I have for them, this is a bonus season for them. So far, they actually have held their own. They haven't gotten smashed every match day, which is something that a lot of people, I guess, expected. And another big thing for them is too, they are on 10 points, only 3 points behind safety. Of course, Union Berlin, who are on that last non-relegation spot, have a game in hand against Bayern Munich. We'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, just 3 points off a non-relegation spot. I think at this part of the season, if someone had told him that, they would have probably taken this. So safety still within reach. Then there's, however, I had some things that I noted as things that I don't think have gone very well. And that is the fact that they lost 8-0 to Bayern Munich. Their promising start seems a long time ago. They haven't actually won a Bundesliga game in 10 games. So, you know, that feels like ages ago. And with all that in mind, the way that they have been playing, I kind of sense that they can already plan for the second division next year, Stefan. So I actually gave Darmstadt, it's not a failing grade because I don't think expectations weren't any bigger, but it's not exactly a great grade for them either. So I gave them a grade C for where they are at this point of the season. A little bit better than making up the numbers in the Bundesliga, but not by much.
Yeah, so I have Cologne next, obviously, and, you know, very topical right now, who parted ways with Steffen Baumgart today. And, you know, very similar kind of circumstances. The way I've kind of gone through my teams is just kind of like pick one good thing, one bad thing so far this season. And I guess both of mine, when it comes to Cologne, are Steffen Baumgart, in the sense that he was the bad thing and it's a good thing that he's gone, which seems very harsh, of course. But, you know, I kind of talked about Cologne on the Monday bulletin. We discussed him as well throughout the show. That might have been him messaging you right now after hearing what I have to say about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously Cologne have reacted not only to their own results, but I think they're probably reacting to the manner of the Bundesliga table right now. Obviously, they're second bottom, or rather joint bottom, I guess, with Darmstadt and Mainz, but I think they're probably acutely aware of the fact that, you know, Union have done something to change things, Mainz have done something to change things, Augsburg did something to change things, and they're now pulling away from the bottom half. Bochum have kind of really turned their form around. You know, obviously Heidenheim have done tremendously well. So they're probably looking around and thinking there's not much space below us anymore. There's not a lot of kind of give after us. And you know, I can understand why they've had to move Baumgart on, who, you know, was a character, a fan favourite, wore his emotions on his sleeve, which is something that fans always love. But, you know, perhaps like Urs Fischer, Union Berlin, perhaps got to a point where you can only do the same thing over and over and over again, and either the players weren't buying into it anymore, or maybe they don't have the squad they once did, or simply the tactics just didn't work. But it felt to me like Baumgart didn't really have the answers or solution to get him out of this problem. So, you know, if I was a Cologne fan, I'd be very disappointed that he's moved on, because he's obviously a big part of that club. But I think there's also some hope in there too, that they can bring someone else in, much like Augsburg have done really, and maybe turn that team around.
Yeah, of course, they also got hit by that transfer ban, right? For two more windows, that's going to be a really tough task. Really tough task. But they aren't the only club that has made a change in the head coaching position, and not the only club that has made a change to a beloved head coach. And that's my next club. It's Mainz, right? They, of course, parted ways with Bo Svensson in November. And I think this was something that, you know, both parties kind of agreed on, although I think Mainz would have probably liked to continue. And that's been one of the negatives for me with Mainz. Of course, the other thing is too that like Köln and Darmstadt, they're on just 10 points and they look like a relegation candidate. You know, that's another negative, of course. And it just feels like the quality isn't 100% there right now for them. This is a side, of course, that I sense. Whenever I watch them, I look at them and like, there is potential there. It's just that they can't get it on the field. And I guess that's maybe one of the positives, that the bad results have overshadowed good games. And then the other really, really big positive has been the play of Jan Grach and Gruda, right? Very exciting attacking midfielder. Has already been scouted by the likes of Bayern Munich. And, you know, I think that is maybe something that Mainz fans can look forward to for the rest of the season. I kind of sense that a couple of extra pieces of quality there, and they could be okay simply because of the teams that are below them. But having said that, if a big club comes in for Brahanguda, they will probably lose him. So it's kind of like a really difficult place for them. And I just don't know where they're going to go from here. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're one of the teams that sit exactly where they're sitting now in the bottom of the table, you know, relegation playoffs maybe. And with all that in mind, I gave them a great C, but, you know, the winter break, who knows what's going to happen there.
I've actually just realized I didn't give Cologne a grade, so my grade for them right now is F.
Ouch. Actually, that's
yeah.
fair.
yeah. I'll probably move on to Union Berlin now then.
Yeah.
You know, they've had such a kind of up and down season. Obviously, the kind of joys of reaching the Champions League were kind of quickly met with the reality of playing in the Champions League. And, you know, the kind of heartbreak of that, you know, whether it be that kind of last minute goal against Real Madrid or the still bizarre manner when they lost that first leg against Braga. It's just felt like misfortune after misfortune. But I think Union Berlin fans will probably look back at it in 5 or 10 years fondly that they got to watch the team against Real Madrid. It's a shame that it wasn't in their own stadium, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm sure they'll still look back on it fondly. So that was the kind of positive that I had for them this season. And then, of course, the negatives, obviously, just the sheer chaos of their domestic campaign and the kind of nosedive that they had made up until maybe a few weeks ago towards the bottom of the table. They've also brought a new head coach. Performances haven't been bad recently. You know, they've obviously picked up, they've avoided defeat in their last four games. They've only lost one of them, away to Bochum, which is no bad thing, or no, you know, no easy thing, no easy place to win. So, you know, I think Union have maybe turned a corner and they can probably be quite hopeful for the second half of the season. So I've given them a D grade so far, just because, you know, they're obviously still failing, but they're not far away from a passing grade.
Yeah, I think Union will be fine, Stefan. I watched their game midweek. I just sense that they are now going to pull out of there pretty quickly, especially with no other obligations. I just kind of sense that things will look up for Union fans in the second half of the season. That actually gets me to my next club, and that's Bochum. I've been actually impressed by Bochum. You know, 6 points clear of a relegation spot, took points of Dortmund and Leipzig, beat Union Berlin, as you just said, at home in a must-win game, and that was a huge fixture for them. You know, I think if someone had to say to them at this point of the season, you are 6 points clear of a relegation spot, they would have taken it. Another thing that I really like about Bochum, and I mean, this is reflective in their home form, isn't it? It's a really good atmosphere there. Maybe one of the better ones in German football. And so far, Bochum have contributed more to the Bundesliga than a lot of people expected when they came back up. Of course, this is a club of history, right? They're one of the bigger teams in the Ruhrpott. They have that really strong historical link to Bayern Munich, which actually was one of my negatives. That 7-0 defeat to Bayern Munich, I think, left a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of fans, especially considering the fact that they did play really well against Dortmund and Leipzig. So maybe too much of a fan friendship there, but I don't want to take away from what they've done there. With very little resources, playing good football, having made their home stadium a real bastion where they can rely on points. And, you know, with all of that in mind, I actually think Bochum have done really well. And I gave them a B+ for this first 16 games of the season. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end the season exactly where they are now.
Yeah, which would be absolutely fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I've kind of got similar kind of thoughts towards Bremen. When I was writing down one good thing, one bad thing, both of them were Füllkrug for me. Simply because, you know, the manner in which they lost him, on the last day of the transfer window, was just sheer chaos and just terrible planning from the club. And I know, of course, it came down to a last-minute bid from Dortmund, but we'd be talking about Niklas Füllkrug leaving Werder Bremen for about 12 months up to that point. And the club could have made so much more of an effort to kind of move him on, bring in a replacement, and, you know, prepare to replace him. And it just didn't happen. And it's kind of felt like Werder Bremen have spent a lot of this season, you know, trying to recover from that real kind of gut punch just at the very end of the transfer window.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, there's also a kind of degree in which they've recovered from that. They've been able to kind of compensate with, you know, obviously Marvin Dux should still do very well. Rafa Bore's done okay. You know, Mitchell Weiser is still swinging in crosses and getting assists. And I still have been quite impressed with the manner in which they haven't just completely imploded without their main kind of talisman up front. They're obviously still only 6 points from relegation, so, you know, I don't want to give them too much credit, but,
yeah,
you know, if I was a Werder Bremen fan taking stock at this point of the season, I would probably say I'm still really disappointed to be lost Füllkrug in that manner, but then I'm also really, I'm kind of begrudgingly proud of the way that we've managed to eventually get past that and not be sitting bottom of the league table right now. So, yeah, I'd probably give them a C- right now,
yeah.
Because I think they're still by no means out of the woods yet, but there's still plenty of hope. I think they probably will have to make some moves in January, but we'll see what happens.
Two questions for you. One point, one question. Marvin Dutch has been a real shining light for them. And then the question for you, are we ever going to see Naby Keita play for Werder Bremen again?
Well, you know, I was obviously really close to making him my negative for them so far, but because he hasn't played, it's not even as if it's been some sort of opportunity lost or anything for them. So they've just kind of had to get on without him, and I guess it's been greeted with a kind of shrug of the shoulders from, you know, Ole Werner and the rest of the team there, because they never really, it's not as if he was a star player last year, and the injuries have kind of limited him of sorts. So yeah, I don't know. He's on a pay-to-play sort of contract, isn't he? So I guess the accountants at the Vasa Stadion aren't exactly freaking out just yet. But yeah, they're going to have to be smarter with their January signings, I think.
Yeah, totally. Did you give him a grade or did I miss that?
I said C-.
C-, okay. Cool. All right. Then that brings me to my next club, and that's Gladbach. I really struggled here with finding any positives, and so I just said 7 points clear of a relegation spot. I just kind of feel like I don't know what they are under Gerardo Sione. I guess the one slight positive is that they're still in the DFB Pokal, and considering the draw that they have there, they could win that thing, and then of course that would change everything about their season. But in the Bundesliga, it's just been so blah. It's, you know, like the fact that the biggest highlight maybe of the first half of the season was the fact that they lost in spectacular fashion to Eintracht Frankfurt on the final match day before the winter break tells you everything you need to know about this Gladbach side. It just feels like there is a lot of new pieces that have come in. Of course, a lot of star players that have left, and we're yet to really see what this club is. And I also kind of sense, people ask me, well, what is Gladbach? What do they stand for? And I can't answer that question, Stefan. I just don't think they have a club philosophy even. And that feels like in the 70s and 80s, this was a club that stood for young, attractive football. You could say the same under Lucien Favre in the 2000s, right? When Marco Reus emerged, Marc-André Ter Stegen, and, you know, the young fools were taking the Bundesliga by storm. And I don't see any of that when it comes to Gladbach. And it's really kind of disappointing because this is a very historical club. It's a club that is really well known abroad because of what it's done in the 70s. When you really successfully challenged Bayern Munich, is a club with a big stadium that, you know, even then you don't really understand what that stands for. And so, yeah, I gave them a really disappointing D+ grade.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, it seems fair enough. I guess I've got Augsburg now, who, contrastly, have been much better. Obviously changed their head coach after match day 7. Enrico Lassen replaced. And, you know, at the time I did write a short blog on this and about how the underlying numbers suggested that, you know, their performances weren't that bad. So obviously, just to remind people, they only had one win and two draws from their first eight games. They've been knocked out of the DFB Pokal by third league, third division side. And, you know, I think obviously many people were kind of fearing for the worst for Augsburg, or some people like yourself were celebrating it.
Hey, I wrote a positive article about Augsburg not that long ago.
Yeah. Obviously, they then made the decision to bring in Jes Torup, who was the head coach at FC Copenhagen beforehand, as well as a few jobs in Belgium. And, you know, and to be perfectly fair, like, he's done a fantastic job since then. You know, Enrico Masson's points per game this season was 0.63 and Jes Torup's is 1.44. So he's more than doubled the points that Augsburg are picking up week after week. And, you know, that's exactly why they're sitting in 11th place, 8 points above relegation and looking very, you know, very, very comfortable in a kind of typical Augsburg way. They just seem to kind of get on with it one way or another and avoid relegation. So, you know, a lot of positives there. And I think Augsburg fans were really happy. To the extent I actually really struggled to think of a negative thing to bring up about them. And the only thing I could think of, and this might be quite controversial because of the, you know, the nature of his move to the club and the kind of, and also the kind of cloud of mystery that kind of hung over the move itself. But, you know, seeing Ricardo Pepe kind of slowly but surely get his career back on track in Holland, you know, he made the move to PSV for 11 million euros after that really bizarre, what, 17 or 18 million euro move to Augsburg a few years ago. I do kind of wonder if Augsburg are maybe watching that now and thinking, maybe we should have just given the kid a bit more time. Maybe we should have just, maybe we handled it wrong. The transfer, the weight of expectations that came with that transfer fee just kind of demanded that Pepe hit the ground running at Augsburg, which was never really fair on the guy. And obviously, now that he's been allowed to fail, it means he's kind of obviously gone off to Holland with no real expectations and is seemingly thriving now. But I do wonder if in a couple of years we'll look back on that and think Augsburg actually made a huge mistake letting him leave the club as they did. So that's the only real negative I can think of.
Yeah, that's not, you know, that's pretty good for Augsburg. You know, overall, I think a good season for them. I have Wolfsburg next.
I once again forgot to give them a grade. I'll give Augsburg a B.
A B. Okay. You know who's not getting a B for me, and that's Wolfsburg. you know, the positives, I guess, are that they're only 5 points out of Europe at this point. And considering the way the Bundesliga has gone, I guess there is still a chance that they could end up there. But like I had with Gladbach, I really struggled to find out what Wolfsburg are trying to be. And this is a club, of course, with significant resources, right? They are fully backed by Volkswagen, a multi-billion euro conglomerate, car conglomerate. And for some odd reason, they just don't manage to get that horsepower on the field. And Niko Kovac in general, it feels like every time this, like last year, we wonder if he's going to be the next coaching victim. It looks like he's going to survive into the Christmas break. But I really don't know what they want to be there. And they make some big transfers and they, you know, they fail to make the impact that we expect. This is a club that has a similar salary budget than Atletico Madrid. And, you know, they're nowhere near that. And it just kind of, it feels disappointing. And it feels, I guess it's a really good reflection of the city of Augsburg itself, Wolfsburg itself, that it's just a place in the middle of nowhere in Germany that we associate with cars and nothing else. And that's kind of what this club is. It's blah. It's what the Germans call eine graue Maus, a gray mouse. And so they get a great C from me. Nothing much to talk about, nothing much positive, nothing too negative. Just blah.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair way to put it, considering we've spent the last week or two wondering where Niko Kovac is going to get sacked. But yeah, so I guess my club's obviously Heidenheim, who are certainly not blah. And, you know, season tickets for them, season ticket holders at their club this season have had a great run of it. Obviously, recently promoted this season. Many kind of wondering whether they'd be able to kind of, you know, survive in the league itself. And they've done exactly that relatively comfortably with a really impressive home form. To the extent that my kind of positive and negatives for Heidenheim this season are positives, home form, negatives, away form. You know, it's because I'm struggling to think of a team who've been this kind of dominant at home and so bad away in the Bundesliga recently. I know, I guess it's maybe Mainz or maybe the other way around a few seasons ago, but, you know, 16 of the 20 points Heidenheim have picked up this season have been at home. You know, they've beaten Werder Bremen, they've beaten Union Berlin, they've beaten Stuttgart, drawn with Bochum, and then recently they've beaten Darmstadt and Freiburg. And, you know, in that run of game, even just that run of fixtures I mentioned there, they're not just beating other kind of relegation candidates, they're also beating good mid-table sides. And it'll be really interesting to see how things kind of work next in the second half of the season, because all those big games that they've lost, you know, against, you know, the big teams, obviously Bayern, Leipzig, I guess they drew with Dortmund, so we can ignore that, but Leverkusen, Frankfurt, Wolfsburg, basically the top six sides in the league by budget, they've all played away in the first half of the season, and they'll all be at home. So, but obviously, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Heidenheim cope with that, because presumably it's going to be a lot harder for them to pick up points at home in the second half of the season, because obviously the fixtures mirror one another, and then they'll have to go away to these kind of mid-table and lower league teams. So maybe that'll flip, and maybe next half the season they'll you know, have a better away form because they'll be playing these same kind of mid-table lower level teams, or the away form will still struggle and they'll also be picking up fewer points at home because they're then playing the bigger teams at home. So that's why I've kind of gone for the good and bad for Heidenheim. But obviously so far right now, you know, sitting very comfortable ninth place. I've given them an A+ because they're fighting well above expectation there. And yeah, and long may continue for them.
Yeah, six wins away from staying in the league, statistically. You would think that they can do that. Yeah, very impressive. My next club is the team that lost to Heidenheim on the final match day of the season. That's Freiburg. And that is actually one of the few negatives I had about them. That result really hurt, because rather than sitting sixth in the table on even points with Borussia Dortmund, they are now sitting in eighth, 3 points behind Borussia Dortmund. But now to the many, many positives, they are in a pack of clubs that include Frankfurt and Hoffenheim as well on 24 points. And, you know, they're striking distance within Europe once again. And speaking of Europe, in Europe, they have qualified for the playoffs of the Europa League, and where they have a really good chance, I think, of going through to the next round and making significant money. They're nowhere near relegation, and we all know Christian Streich, he always points that out. The first goal at Freiburg is always to stay away from relegation. And yes, I think Herr Streich will happily look at the table and say, well, we're punching above the weight again, which they do every single year. And at one point, Stefan, we might come to the realization that maybe this is where Freiburg belong and where the club has slowly but surely worked its way towards, to considering the infrastructure that they have, considering the players that they're now able to sign, considering in the metropolitan area that they are in as well, that reaches into Switzerland and France, right, is quite rich. Maybe this is a club that we just need to start to expect a little bit more in the future. So, but as it is for now, yeah, once again, really impressive what Freiburg are doing. I wouldn't be shocked if they finished the season in the top six. I think it's fine if they don't, because, you know, it's Freiburg. But yeah, really, really good year once again from Christian Streich's man, and I gave them a great A.
Yeah, fair enough. So obviously I've got Hoffenheim next. Another team are doing really well this season. You know, and the positives kind of speak for themselves. I really had to pick between Maximilian Boyer, who's doing, you know, has been a real kind of, I don't know what you call it, I guess, rookie of the season contender. or, you know, young player who's just kind of broke into the first team, he's doing incredibly well, potential German number nine for next summer at the Euros. But I ended up kind of falling on Pellegrino Matarazzo because, yeah, I've just been really impressed with the manner in which he came in February, took over a Hoffenheim side that could have really kind of just completely fallen apart. You know, obviously Sebastian Hoeneß did a bit surprisingly well with him, then Andre Breitenreiter didn't do tremendously well with him. But we're now, what, 8 months on from that, and, you know, Matarazzo's sitting on a pretty decent points per game average of 1.33, which isn't far off what Hoeneß was averaging at the club. So, you know, it's great for him that he's able to kind of obviously find another club and kind of repeat the magic and prove he's not a one-hit wonder in the Bundesliga. And similarly, Hoffenheim are able to bring another coach in who's more than happy to, you know, work their magic there. Again, because I've done so well, I felt like I was kind of nitpicking in terms of negatives, but I guess the only real negative I have is that while this squad is doing well, it is maybe a little over-reliant on some older players, you know. The most obvious one is Andre Kramaric, who is just this perennial kind of talisman for Hoffenheim, whether it's goals or assists, but he's obviously the top goal scorer this year. Wout Weghorst is also of a similar age. He's second in the table. I did a piece actually towards the start of the season talking about how instrumental he's been for Hoffenheim. These aren't big issues, you know. I don't really want to kind of hammer home the point, but it's just worth bearing in mind if a lot of your key players are the dark side of 30, then it might mean the success is kind of short term and we might have to look towards long term ones. But obviously, as I mentioned, they've got an excellent young striker in the midst who can obviously step up if and when ready. He's already got 10 goals and assists in 17 games this season, so he's doing remarkably well. And on the whole, I would give Hoffenheim an A, considering where they are on the table and how well they've done. So, yeah, no complaints from Hoffenheim, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I have Frankfurt next. And it's incredible how one match can change the full perspective of where a club is, eh? All of a sudden, you go from have only won one out of six to having won two of the last five, including a game against Bayern Munich. You're sixth in the table now, based on goal differential, just 1-3 points behind Borussia Dortmund. You're sitting on a Conference League spot, right? Depending on how the day people call ends, that could actually be a Europa League spot. And I think if you had told Eintracht Frankfurt on September 1st, when they lost Kolomwani without a replacement in hand, by the halfway point, or just before the halfway point, when you are allowed to sign players again, you are going to be in the top six in the Bundesliga.
It's just
Dino Topmöller and all the decision makers at the club would have happily signed that piece of paper and said, we can go from there. And that's exactly where they are. And, you know, it's really interesting how, because it was really the last 5 minutes of that game against Gladbach where they turned a situation that's not that great into a situation where they are now sitting pretty. And that's, I guess, the fine portions of how it goes in football sometimes. So, yes, the negatives, of course, are that they sold Kolomwani without a replacement. They have a lack of consistency in the Bundesliga. I didn't like their performances in the Conference League either, Stefan, against PAOK and Aberdeen in particular. They went through, of course. They have an extra game there now. I think they will look very different in the second half of the season. But the bottom line is still their sixth. And with that in mind, I had to give them a B+, because this is not an easy thing to do, considering everything that's going on. And, you know, if they do things right in January, they could really hurt the team that's right in front of them. And that's the next club that you have.
Yes, it is Borussia Dortmund. We're now getting into the really interesting part of the podcast.
Yes.
I've got written down here positives, if there are any, are of course the Champions League campaign. You know, Dortmund got out of what was perceived to be the group of death, a group that I thought would hammer them and batter them to within an inch of their life, and they did quite the opposite. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the manner in which that has contrasted so starkly with their home form, their domestic form. But it's definitely worth mentioning just that in itself, because we've had so many seasons in which Dortmund have kind of almost passively ensured that they finish second or third in the table and then just do absolutely nothing in the Champions League. It's actually been one of my biggest pet peeves of covering German football in recent years, that Dortmund and the Champions League just seems to be an afterthought. There's no real pressure on them as the second biggest club in Germany to actually really make an effort with it. And to Terzic's credit, he's obviously gone in and said, well, quite literally said, you know, I'm not here to play pretty, I'm here to win games. And I can commend that to an extent, you know, because too many head coaches at Dortmund have just simply played quite passive attacking football and their teams have been played off the park. So I think Terzic and Dortmund deserve a lot of credit for getting out of that group. Unfortunately, that contrasts hugely with the manner in which they've failed to kind of pick up points in the league. And, you know, for positives, I wrote down Champions League, and for negative, I wrote down everything. And it's just, you know, it's obviously just kind of, you know, look, we did a whole show on this midweek, so I don't really have to labour the point, but there's going to have to be a lot of work done in January. Now that Terzic looks likely to stay put, Dortmund have to do a lot of work to convince fans that they are not asleep at the wheel, that they're obviously being proactive to try and improve the squad. If Terzic isn't the problem, then obviously the players that he has to hand are, and the board have to do something about that. They can't just sleepwalk through the January window and say, oh, well, German clubs don't tend to spend money. No, those days are gone. Bayern are going to spend money in January. Leipzig are going to spend money in January. Frankfurt are going to spend money in January. If Dortmund have any hope of really getting back into that top four and having any sort of self-respect, they're going to have to spend money. And that's why, you know, I've kind of given them a C- for the season as a whole. If it was based on the Champions League or the Bundesliga alone, I think they'd be closer to an F, but obviously the Champions League does pull them up quite considerably. So C- hinting that, you know, this could all still go up in flames, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the long January and long winter break in Dortmund. Sitting ahead of them pretty is RB Leipzig. 6 points clear of Dortmund in that Champions League spot. And, you know, the way things are going, I think Dortmund have to now either win the Champions League or pray that the Bundesliga gets that fifth Champions League spot for next year, because otherwise they're going to be in big trouble. Because, Stefan, I sense this Leipzig side is only going to get better. They navigated a very, very, very difficult transition period quite well. Of course, there were some inconsistencies that you can expect from shipping out four key players, right, and bringing in all this young and exciting talent. You know, some results haven't been as good as, or sometimes there was results that were a little bit disappointing, including this draw on this match day. But, you know, I think if someone had told them, hey, you're sitting 6 points clear of the match day 16 in this Champions League spot, they would have happily taken it. And I also think that their 33 points at this point of the season are actually quite remarkable, you know, and they would probably be better in the standings if they weren't three clubs ahead of them on a remarkable points run. You know, whether it's Leverkusen, Bayern or Stuttgart, all those three clubs, Stuttgart now have more points than they had during the last two times that they won a title at this point of the season, which tells you everything on the pace of the top three that the top three has been setting, right? So them only being 1 point off that pace behind Stuttgart, I think, is something that is really quite remarkable. You know, and then, of course, I also noted the fact that they easily qualified out of the Champions League group. They now have Real Madrid, which seems daunting, but not really. They played them last year and they played against them really well. They won their home match. So, you know, why wouldn't they advance from that? It wasn't exactly like Real Madrid did extremely well against Union Berlin in their two matches, right? Those two games were really tight and Leipzig are a lot better. So, you know, a lot of positives here. The minuses I had out of the cup, that will hurt them. I don't like this whole Timo Werner situation. I think that is something that could potentially blow up in their faces if there's no resolution, and they might have to find a resolution in the second half of the season. And then, of course, that consistency is something that they will have to work on. But I give them a B+.
Yeah, fair enough. Obviously, my next club is Stuttgart, who, again, very few negatives to talk about. Their grade is obviously A+ right now. And the for positive, you know, there's so many you could give, but I think the main one is just Sebastian Hoeneß. You know, the way that he's came in and kind of galvanised his club. We always knew that Stuttgart had a squad capable of pulling itself out of the kind of relegation battles that it's kind of found itself in from one season to the next. And, you know, Hoeneß wasted no time in doing that. We obviously saw it in the playoffs at the end of last season. They put a lot of work in over the summer. And they're now reaping the benefits of that. They've obviously made some signings, but by and large, it's just a case of really just getting the best out of the squad that he inherited. And I think it's just a perfect showcase for how impressive and how exciting a young coach Hoeneß is. He's probably the most impressive German head coach right now, in terms of young German head coach, that is, which is something we haven't said in a long time, to be perfectly honest with you, because that kind of generation came after the likes of Tuchel and Klopp and Nagelsmann hasn't exactly been able to live up to the previous one, but Hoeneß is perhaps the one who stands out as a potential successor to those guys. And as long as they've got him, then, you know, I'd always bank on Stuttgart to do well. Whether they can stay in the top four between now and then next May remains to be seen. And that brings me on to my negative. And the only thing I could really think of is, of course, the Sergio Gyurassi release clause, which has probably had more airtime on this podcast than just about any release clause, at least going back to maybe the, you know, Erling Haaland days or something, where everyone was talking about it day after day. But yeah, that's obviously something that will likely overshadow Stuttgart in January. They'll be waiting by the phone to see who's willing to kind of pull the trigger on that one. But I do think, in the handful of games they've not had him this season, they've done reasonably well. Or Hoeneß has suggested that, you know, they're not a one-man team, and I think that's a fair point. So, A+ for Stuttgart so far. Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens in January.
Yeah. I mean, I also have Dennis Undaf, who scored an unbelievable goal again yesterday. So, yeah, I think they will be just fine. All right, speaking of strikers, Bayern Munich. And that's my big, big, big plus for them as Harry Kane. What a signing. I mean, he has been worth every single cent. He has been unbelievable. I had the honor this year to vote for the Guardian Top 100. Obviously, without giving anything away, I voted him very highly up. I think he's one of the best players on the planet at the moment. He's been carrying this Bayern Munich team, including on this match day, right? Where they, once again, I don't think were that impressive against Wolfsburg. And he scored what turned out to be the winner. He's just been not just only impactful in terms of goal scoring, but he makes other players around him better. First and foremost, Leroy Sané, right? Who's looked like a different player since Harry Kane has arrived. And I think the Bayern bosses can rightfully pat themselves on the shoulders and said, yeah, everything done right here. We went in, we signed a striker, we signed a number nine. We didn't sign any number nine. We signed the best number nine available, not named Erling Haaland. And we made this club better. And I think that is really a big positive for them. They have averaged 2.53 points per game in the Bundesliga. They had a perfect Champions League campaign. I think the only negatives here are really the fact that it's not enough, because Leverkusen are, and you're going to talk about them in a moment, are on this incredible pace for 90 points at the moment. And of course, even Bayern Munich cannot keep up with that. Right now, it feels like that every point Bayern Munich drop will be a point too many, simply because of the pace that's being set at the top of the table. And we'll have to, of course, see if that's going to last for all of the clubs involved. But yeah, I think that's been the one of the negatives. And another negative is, of course, I don't think they've done enough in the transfer window on that September 1st was a really, really dark spot for the club. The deadline day disaster is something that was not befitting for a club of Bayern Munich's stature in European football. I think it's made them a little bit of a laughing stock. And I think, you know, they're drawn the right conclusions from that. I think it's going to be a really, really fascinating January window. I think Christoph Freund is the right person for the job. I think he is going to make decisions that are not going to be obvious for most of us, but will make a lot of sense in the long term. And I also think that he's maybe going to force Thomas Tuchel to work with young players, even begrudgingly. And I think that is going to be something that's going to benefit the club in the long term. But yeah, the transfer window was one of the negatives. And I gave them a B+, because if you buy a Munich, good is the enemy of great. They've been good, but not great. And they have to be great because they buy Munich.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair score. And I guess I've got the final club, don't I?
Yeah.
Bayer Leverkusen, who go into the table, into the winter, top of the table. Manu, you could probably tell us what the German term is for that.
Well, the Herbstmeister, I guess.
There we go, yep. And yeah, I mean, I really don't know what to say about them. It's 10 out of 10 for Leverkusen so far, you know, in terms... If I was saying for Dortmund the bad thing was everything when it comes to Leverkusen, for the good thing I wrote down everything again, because they really haven't put a foot wrong so far this season. You know, I got a chance to go speak to Xabi Alonso this season, kind of get a peek behind the curtain at the Bay Arena to see what they're up to there. And, you know, everyone's just walking around with big smiles on their face. Everyone's singing a happy tune. They've all got a spring in their step. And... it feels like they've suddenly but surely kind of found a head coach just clicks with them and everything is working. We've been waiting for it to kind of fall apart. We've been waiting for injuries. We've been waiting for form. We've been waiting for Xabi Alonso to stand up and say he's buggering off to Real Madrid. None of that has happened so far. And yeah, so far it's just 10 out of 10, A+ for Leverkusen. And honestly, the only negative I could think of is... you know, again, much like Stuttgart, the fact that it was revealed that Jeremy Frimpong obviously has a release clause in his contract, which is maybe a little lower than one would expect. But again, it's not a big deal. I have my own theories as to why big clubs might actually hold off from trying to make a move for Frimpong in January, which I'm sure we can talk about in January. But for now... Leverkusen fans up and down the country will be putting a big picture of Xabi Alonso at the top of their Christmas tree. And yeah, they'll be absolutely delighted. And all power to them. It's been a great story for German football. And in my opinion, I hope it continues.
Do you think they put up a monument in front of the Werks, the Bay Arena, if Alonso wins the title? If he finally strips Leverkusen of the Vizekusen title?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. No club in German history has finished second more times than Leverkusen.
Wow.
There's a fact for you.
Poor Leverkusen. Poor Leverkusen.
Well, not poor Leverkusen. They're doing fine right now. I'm sure there's a number of other clubs that would have happily taken the place right now. But yeah, they've also got a lot of work to keep it going. But yeah, they're a very happy club right now.
I also, it's really interesting. I talked to Soas yesterday. I talked to them about something different, but Patrick Schick came up, and it was before he scored his hat-trick, and this person said to me, Manu, Patrick Schick, when Boniface is gone for the Africa Cup, Leverkusen are going to be just fine because Alonso is going to fix Patrick Schick, and he's going to score 20 goals from here until the end of the season. He's now has 3. I guess we forget how good Patrick Schick was before he got that injury, right? So, it's incredible the amount of depth that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it means there's play to play for in the next second half of the season. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's see what happens, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, that's it from us. Final podcast of 2023. Enjoy the holidays. No matter what you celebrate, just eat whatever festive tradition food you eat this time of the year. Eat plenty of it. Put up your legs. Enjoy the time off with your family. All the best from us, right, Stefan? Happy holidays. And as always, this show is brought to you by Bet Online. We'll be back, I guess, first week of January. Some point,
yeah. This put a pin in that and see how we go. What's it? But yeah, we play to the cover January, that's for sure.
let's see how own personal recovery goes from the holiday season. With that in mind, Stefan, happy holidays to you as well. Merry Christmas. Enjoy. What is it called again? The New Year thing that you guys do in Scotland?
Hogmanay.
Hogmanay. Happy Hogmanay. Until next time, auf Wiedersehen.
In Sicht.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.